Okay. Well, that's my side. How about you have some questions about these or other sort of brahmacharya related points?
Sometimes some of the devotees complain they don't get enough time to read, but also at the same time it may be true that they don't use the time properly, like they don't get up early and things. So is it necessary that Brahmacharya should get up before Mangala Arati, do some chanting or reading before that?
Yeah. It's something that you need to manage and review for devotees, because the traditional brahmacharis in Vedic culture, they probably had a lot more time to study than our brahmacharis did. And they weren't doing, so even if they were going out begging, they weren't doing this really intense physical and mental work that devotees do in book distribution, which means that those brahmacharis could sort of sleep less, like Goswami's slept less. Prabhupada said, I can't do that. Even Prabhupada said he couldn't do it, because he's constantly traveling all over the world. And Prabhupada was transcendental on top of that. Prabhupada wasn't sleeping 2 hours a day. Prabhupada was sleeping more like four and a half hours a day. Something like that, 4 hours. Sleep an hour in the afternoon, 45 minutes, and then 3 hours. So that they need some compensation for that, because it is a very physically demanding thing, and if you're tired, then it's just words. It doesn't add up to anything. But brahmacharis have a very regulated life, so sankirtan is very good from that point of view. There's no mystery what you do tomorrow. It's not like a temple president. It's like anything, you know, a flying saucer could be landing on top of the temple, or someone's committing suicide, or someone looped, or who knows, and every day. So generally sankirtan means you're going out at this time, you're coming back at this time, you get up at this time. It's very easy time management wise. And you're pretty well defined. It just needs to, and it needs to be ensured that devotees have, and it's actually a right. So it's one of the rights of devotees to have enough time to actually study Prabhupada's books. And it may be different. You'll have some devotees who can easily go on sankirtan with 6 hours sleep, or even less. Some devotees need more. I needed more. I usually needed 6.5-7 hours, and on a day off, we had days off, we spent half the day sleeping. It was just physically grueling, because we're lugging around like that many books, and that was in our arms all the time. And then somehow or another, they had this sort of psychological set that if you didn't have 10 books in your arms and another 10 on your bag, you're a Maya. It never occurred to us that you just let the books enter. We never walked around with an empty bag. We always had a full bag. That was really, really good. What you said, someone who's a master of their senses.
And what? Guru is for?
Senses. And Swami means master. So someone who controls their senses. And it's a title, but it It's also a sort of a general designation which is applicable to brahmacharis and grihasthas and vanaprasthas and sannyasis. Technically speaking, anyone in Krishna consciousness movement is meant to be a Goswami. So if you follow four regulated principles and you chant 16 hours a day, you're a Goswami. Yes, so that was on reading. Oh yeah, but and here's a technical point: how long is someone a sort of a on trial brahmachari before he actually makes a lifelong vow? That's the question. And it needs to be. There needs to be a cutoff point at which technically you cut off, and you can't be a trial brahmachari. At a certain point, you need to make the decision, grihastha or lifelong. And then the decision can't be just a devotee, but it has to be done probably with senior devotees involved also who know him, who actually think that this person actually can be a brahmachari or actually know you're better off a grihastha. So that's one characteristic of Varnashram, is that after 25 is the cutoff. Or say, 5 years, maybe you came when you were 23 or 24, okay. But you can't go on trial forever. There has to be a certain cutoff point at which it's like a student. You can't be a student forever. At a certain point, you get out, there's bachelor's degree, and then, okay, there's master and some PhD, but that's it. At a certain point, you cut out. And either you go into a business industry, or you become a teacher, but you just can't be a student forever. So you can't be a brahmachari student forever. At a certain point, it's for life, or grihastha ashram. And that then changes very much what you're doing in your life. Because then there's two types of grihasthas again. Then there are those who are more or less living like they were brahmacharis, which means that whatever the temple gives, that's how I manage my life. And the other grihastha is that I'm more independent, I'm providing my needs, and I'm giving 50% of my income to the temple. Both are good, but it just has to be clear. There have to be clear decisions and clear lines drawn as to how long you go on with that. And that's also very important, because otherwise your line of brahmacharya becomes very blurred. You've got someone who's been in saffron for 10 years, but he hasn't decided whether he wants to do it for the rest of his life, whether he wants to get married. That then actually starts to confuse the whole ashram, the whole physical ashram itself, because here's someone who's walking around like, do you think I should get married or not? And meanwhile, here's someone who's saying, I've given it up. So it doesn't give the type of protection that you expect actually in an ashram. And that's why, in one sense, the trial brahmacharis should be somewhat physically separated from the lifelong committed brahmacharis, because the lifelong committed brahmacharis shouldn't be constantly subjected all their life to should I or shouldn't I. They should have that type of protection and peace of mind that I'm just living with people of like mind. So jatiya snigda, that's the basis of, because that will make them strong. It'll give them the protection. And sometimes we have that as a phenomena, is when you've got devotees who are committed, and then they're living with devotees who just moved in the temple, devotees who are brahmacharis for a little while, devotees who are already associating with Matajis, and they're still living in a brahmachari ashram. It doesn't make for a brahmachari atmosphere. So particularly those who are committed to lifelong brahmacharya, they should have at least their own room, separate room, but even ideally separate building. because they'll think differently and they'll live differently than the others, and that gives them a real sense of identity and strength. So that's also varnanashram. What's varnanashram means? Qualities. You separate, or I give identity to groups of people who have similar guna, similar qualities, and similar work. So I ideally, those devotees who are just coming in and, say, doing 5 years, they should live in one place, and those who have already made the decision that they want to, and then you'll get a lot more brahmacharis also. We'll say brahmachari, because they'll reinforce each other and they'll get strength from that. Sorry.
Maharaj, you were talking there saying that unless you learn discipline, how are you going to discipline yourself? So if you're in a position where you're trying to train other devotees, might it be that you're trying to train them according to your standards, but your standards may be too strict for what they're prepared to do? And so how do you...
Yeah, training. Therefore, the trainers need to be trained. And when they're not, then it becomes a little subjective. So those are... There should be sort of basic common standards. We should know what it is that we're expecting from all of our devotees, and they should know what we expect from them. And then there's individuals who are going to be different. Some people are going to have a little more personal approach. Some people are going to have a little more, you know, army sergeant approach. But that's natural, because we're individuals. And even, for instance, in the army, you'll have, I guess, different sergeants who have, you know, different ways of doing things. But everyone's got. It's not. They're not dreaming up, you know, the different steps that you do and how you shoot a rifle, and you know, they're not sort of teaching people to shoot it between their legs and so on just because it looks fancy. they're teaching what's in the book, and then over and beyond the book, then there's individuality, which is all right. But you've got to do what's there, and you've got to stay within certain parameters. You can't get too far out. And that's and that's part of that's sort of the art of being trained. The real difficulty is not being trained to be a trainer. And for that, it's something that we should have discussions. We can learn. There are really basic leadership tools that are available and that are really common. We have them in ISKCON. We have a leadership manual. We have leadership training courses. They give them regularly in Mayapur. They give them in other places. Didn't Anuttama Prabhu, wasn't he here and gave it in London, the leadership training course? I think that may have been there last year. Anyway, they do it in Radhadesh. So that's good, because they've worked out sort of common standards that, based on Prabhupada's instructions, ISKCON's experience, GBC resolutions, so the devotees don't have to sort of make things up. But actually there's a phenomenal amount of really, really good information there. That's what we've been doing the last 3 days with this GBC subcommittee meeting that we're on. We're actually reviewing existing resolutions. And we're really shocked as to the amount of relevant information and decisions and the high quality of those decisions that's been there. What's been lacking is actually implementation and training on a lot of those things. But it's not that the GBC has to go on more or less for so many things, and this was particularly in regard to organizational structure. It's all there. It hasn't actually necessarily been just put together. It needs a little more welding together. But Prabhupada gave this rule of thumb: you have to know how to bend devotees without breaking them. because everyone's here voluntarily. And so, for instance, Radhanath Maharaj's motto and Prabhupada's motto and what his son is about is that we have to care for devotees. And really, that's, if you want to ask what Varnashram is, Varnashram really means how you give a lifelong formula for taking care of devotees. How are you going to, well, we were just talking earlier, how you care for them from the cradle to the grave. And what, how to keep alive that spirit of voluntary service and enthusiasm that devotees naturally come with. And it's not an easy thing. Because the motivation always is different than what's out there. It's not based on money. It's just based on pleasing Krishna. But you're only motivated to please Krishna if you're Krishna conscious. If you lose your Krishna consciousness, then that motivation goes out the window. Then you look for all types of other motivations, like, you know, I want to get more money, I want to have all types of other things. Starts seeming to being important how big my house is and all other facilities like that. Something else?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I was reading about, for a brahmachari it's very important that he develops strong relationships with other brahmacharis, and sometimes the pressure of the service is so much that you're always doing service and maybe sometimes service separate from other devotees, and so how do we best develop strong friendships? Should there be, you know, time allotted when the devotees can just associate when it's not necessarily just doing service, or should it just be association through service?
Well, no, it has to be that there's free time for association, but then there has to be quality association. It's not like goofing off or something, but it's quality stuff. Where, and it can be relaxed association. It doesn't mean that everyone has to be at attention. But so yuktahara viharas. So, I mean, right now our situation here is, you know, pretty demanding, just because of, you know, the history and because manpower is, you know, almost down to half of what it was before. But if I go back to the way things were, for instance, during Balabhadra's time, it wasn't that there was any kind of financial strain on this yatra. And so, yes, there should be, like, as I mentioned, it's a right. It's devotees have a right to read, to chant, to have a certain amount of recreation time. And of course that's in context. It's not something that, you know, when we go out the door and pull Prana over to the side and he says, hey, listen, I'm going to the pool tomorrow morning. But it is a phenomena in ISKCON that, you know, I try to deal with over many, many years, because I've experienced it myself and I was sort of a victim of it, or maybe even a perpetrator of it, is that, you know, this proper balance between service and investing time, quality time, in sadhan. And often the idea is that you measure things in terms of quantity, but actually, if devotee's consciousness is better, then with less quantity, you get more, because they're doing it with quality. Anyway, you have an experience. You know, if you're dead tired, then you can be dragging yourself around on the street for 5 hours doing nothing. Whereas if you're energetic in 5 hours, you can be distributing 100 books or whatever. So, sort of maximizing, having the balance of the both, but the problem may be, and sometimes is the devotees don't take seriously what that study time is about. And so, because brahmacharya means discipline, so, you know, they weren't they were sitting down in front of the guru, they were sitting there, they were studying, they had monitors, and everyone was looking. So it was serious business. Studying wasn't like, you know, you put your feet up on the couch and sort of kick back, and they were sitting there, and it was austere, and they were studying, and they were being taught, so like school, that type of studying. So that's why Prabhupada wanted our morning programs like that. And more or less, when you're studying, it should be like that. So like Prana, my experience is, best thing is early to bed, early to rise, 3 o'clock at the latest, preferably earlier if you can. And first thing, at least that I prefer to do, is, and I've done that for just until this year, is just studying first thing when your mind is fresh, and the chanting rounds after Mangalarti. Now I had my therapist said that because of my back, the worst thing is if I get up is to sit down. Just chant when I get up rather than sitting down. Because I used to always just get up and I just wash my face and sit down and start writing. But it's a very important thing, and if we have faith in that quality Krishna consciousness will really get quality results in service on Sankirtan. If someone's in really good consciousness, he can do in 6 hours what otherwise he won't do in 10 hours. But it has to be, but then that study is serious work also. It's not just playing around. And then you really need to take advantage. And then when there's, you know, emergency with this marathon and so on, then that's something else. And that's also part of life. So, you know, Prabhupada had Chaitanya Maharaj building the long building in Mayapur. So Prabhupada wanted the building finished in time for 77 festival. Chaitanya Maharaj came to Prabhupada, and he had 3 shifts going, so 24 hours a day they were building, and he was in charge. So Prabhupada, I'm just, you know, building this building all the time. I don't have time to read. I don't have time to chant, finish my rounds. Prabhupada just started yelling at him. He says, you think building this building is any less important than chanting your rounds? He says, just figure out how to do it. And just do it. So Prabhupada wanted that building finished when the devotees were there. And so of course that's marathon, that's emergency mode. You can't live like that. But sometimes that happens. But it can't be for life. Only Paramahansas can sustain a lifelong marathon. Time. Should we go up the hill? Anyway, we have not discussed everything, but that was something.
Continue on other occasions when he
doesn't match. Yeah. Yeah. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.